Hello and welcome to another podcast recording from Animal Training Academy. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Ryan Cartledge and I'm the director and founder of Animal Training Academy. And just before we get started today, I want to quickly mention something. I launched the website for this venture in January this year and I recorded my first ever podcast not long after that. And now this month we will reach 1500 downloads. So I'm super pumped about that. And I just want to extend a massive thank you to everyone that has been listening to, downloading, entertained, hopefully educated, and hopefully inspired by these podcasts. It has been a tremendously fun and engaging process. And today's episode is going to be no exception. I'm really excited today because of two things. One, we are going to be talking horses. There's a huge opportunity for everyone to learn lots today, as well as myself. And I know that there are people in the community, in the animal training community, that are interested in the application of applied behavior analysis, positive reinforcement, and unintrusive animal training within the horse family. So I'm really excited about talking about this information today. And the other reason I'm excited is because we're representing today and I'm bringing a New Zealander onto the show. And this is very exciting for me. Animal Training Academy is an international community, so I really like it when the New Zealanders get involved. So it's my great pleasure to bring Kate Winchester onto the show. Good afternoon, Kate.
Good afternoon, Ryan, and thank you for inviting me onto your show.
The pleasure is all mine. Hey, I'm just going to give a little bit of an introduction to you, Kate, and then we'll get started. So Kate is a New Zealand registered psychologist. She's a qualified teacher and a freelance writer. Kate has two online businesses. EPR Training provides education to the equine industry on application of behavioral science to horse training, offering presentations and clinics as well as online material. Kate and two fellow applied behavioral analysis graduates saw a need for parents and teachers to have access to information and evidence-based practices and started New Way Coaching, an online company. New Way Coaching is being developed currently and will provide online material to parents and teachers in the form of blogs, forums, and video material based on the principles of applied behavior analysis. Pretty cool resume there, Kate, and very excited to talk to you today.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, thank you for agreeing to come on the show. And I'm always interested in what I call people's odysseys and how they have come to be where they are and how they got into positive reinforcement animal training and applied behavior analysis. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about this, Kate, and some of the early work you started doing in this area.
Okay, well, I have always been interested in alternative ways of training horses right from being, I think it's 8 years old with my first pony. And the problem way back then was there really was no other way to train horses. And I remember being told at Pony Club, you know, how you should do it. And even at that early age, I really didn't want to be hitting my pony or getting cross with him. But it took, I think it took about 20 years before I finally found what I'd been looking for, which was at an airport when I bought a magazine and it had an article in it by Shauna Carriage, who was a SeaWorld trainer, and she'd written an article on using positive reinforcement with horses, and it was Your Horse magazine, which is out of the UK. And I can remember getting really excited and thinking, this is what I've been searching for. And that was really the beginning of the journey to applying positive reinforcement with horses. It was really quite a magical moment.
I can imagine. So we're looking at about late 20s, Kate, standing in an airport. been training horses for 20 years, picks up a magazine and reads an article. Yeah, that must have been an aha moment, a eureka moment? How do you feel?
It was definitely an aha moment. And it was pivotal because it was a time when I was heading back to the UK, strangely enough, and it would be a few years before I actually, well, not a few years, I think it was a couple of years before I actually got the chance to apply it with horses. And it was also the beginning of my journey towards ABA because I met Shauna Carriage. We brought her to New Zealand and it sort of snowballed from that. So yeah, it really was a pivotal moment in my life.
And just for everyone out there who doesn't know the acronym, we've said it a few times today, ABA just stands for Applied Behavior Analysis. So you started applying this 4 years after that moment in the airport. What was your kind of thinking over that four-year period? Were you just dying to get involved, or did it kind of take that amount of time for you to let the idea marinate and to kind of go out and seek others and seek other information sources?
Well, I suppose as a teacher, because I was teaching attention through that time, and I had intuitively used positive reinforcement without being able to actually know anything about the theory. The opportunity to actually work with horses didn't come until I returned to New Zealand and bought my first horse for some time. I was just dying to see if it worked, and I can remember I'd bought Shauna's book and read it from cover to cover, and my first horse when I returned to New Zealand was Melita. She was an ex-race horse that I bought for $200 and she had a lot of issues. And when I started teaching her to touch the target and just saw the change in this horse, it was just, yeah, it was very, very exciting. And I can remember just wanting to show everybody what she could do. So
I remember, and we've talked about this in the podcast before, those moments for you as an individual person and for you as a trainer, but also for your animals. And you can see in your animals' behaviors and changes in their behavior and their, I don't know how to say this in a proper applied behavior analysis way without using labels and all that kind of stuff, but you see a change in your animals. Would you agree with that? And you seem to have described that with your horse. Can you maybe dive a little bit deeper there? What was your horse's name, sorry?
She was called Melita. Melita.
Melita.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's very difficult to sound scientific and important, but to get across the emotional side of the experience, because she would have been classed as a very difficult horse. Obviously, the $200 sale is sort of kind of a giveaway clue. Nobody wanted her. And it was the change, because she realized that she was a partner in the training process. Rather than me making her do things, I was giving her a choice. And we know, research tells us a lot, that choice for a living organism is a massive part of getting quality of life and getting good results in training.
Yeah, I absolutely love that and agree with you, and like the points you made there about creating partnerships and creating choice as well. Hey, using applied behavior analysis, obviously, and we've already alluded to this and you've already touched on it numerous times, is very different than, say, and I'm not a horse trainer and I don't have lots of experience to draw on like yourself. So my knowledge is limited in that degree. I know about things such as breaking a horse and other what you might call traditional horse training methodology. But what's your opinion on these different methods that are still used, and someone can find these, you know, they can go to YouTube or they can go to, I know I have, and go to Google and find all this information.
Okay, I suppose the biggest difference between traditional training and applied behavior analysis, or using principles from applied behavior analysis, the biggest difference for me is that traditional horse training is focused on the use of aversives, and even so-called alternative horse training, like natural horsemanship, etc., is still focused on the use of what we call negative reinforcement. And it's a very limited set of tools for training. Even though most horse people are sort of not consciously aware of this focus on aversives, you've only got to go into a saddlery shop or pick up a saddlery magazine, and it's full of equipment that's designed to make a horse conform. The ABA perspective, of course, is that we look at the behavior of an individual within its environment, and we look at the function of the behavior within that environment. So our focus is very much on, initially, how can we perhaps change the environment and what's happening around the individual to impact on the behavior. And I think this is something that we generally don't do in traditional horse training.
And so I guess the negative reinforcement side of things that I'm familiar with, and I'm assuming other people are familiar with, is, say, when you're riding the horse and the horse is turning to remove the pressure that's being placed on it. Is that correct, Kate?
Yes. So, you know, you pull on the reins, he stops, and you release the pressure, or you apply your leg, he moves forward, and you remove the pressure. I would say, I mean, massive generalization here, but I would say that most training issues are really based on the fact that we're not very good with our timing, and we don't release the pressure at exactly the right point for the animal to make the connection. So, and people do get confused with negative reinforcement being bad and positive reinforcement being good. But of course, they both have the same outcome, which is an increase in the desired behaviour. And I think this is quite confusing, but it's a mathematical use of the words. So we say negative because we remove something, and we say positive because we add something in to increase the behaviour.
And so for those people out there that are wondering what the alternative is to, say, using negative reinforcement when riding a horse, and what would you say to that?
Well, that's an interesting one, because obviously we're not going to throw everything out that we know. But I suppose my viewpoint on it, and the way I've worked with my horses, who have all had a history of, three of them have got a history of being traditionally trained, is that I put positive reinforcement on top of the existing cue. I suppose I've turned negative reinforcement around into, it signals a response. And then when the horse responds correctly, I add in positive reinforcement. The advantage here is that I never have to increase the pressure, if that makes sense. So if my horse doesn't walk forward on the application of the pressure, he simply doesn't get the positive reinforcement. And because they're so into positive reinforcement, they are kind of looking for, what does she want? What does she want me to do? And they'll try other things. And so through that way, I eventually get what I want.
And what reinforces would you say, we're generalizing here, I know, because each horse is an individual, but what reinforcers have you used in those situations?
I do stick with food. Mm-hmm. I've tried various types of food. Some horses work harder for carrots, others work harder for hard feed. I found a really good brand of feed that's tiny round pellets, which is really easy to feed, and you can avoid, you know, getting them handfuls of food. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, you like rubbing the withers as reinforcement, but I think with the level of training that I'm trying to get to, I think you've got to use something that's of high value for the horse, and I found that they'll work really hard for the food.
Yeah, really cool. And we're going to move on quickly, but just for those out there that are working with the horses, maybe just tell us what brand or what make those little food balls you mentioned are. They sound interesting.
It's Nutri-Rice, and I'm not sure who actually makes it, but it's called Nutri-Rice, and you can get a fairly low energy one so that you're not going to pack on weight or turn your horse into a rocket.
Awesome. Now, Kate, you've just finished your master's, and I know you have been influenced by a couple of people, and you've already mentioned some of them. Do you want to maybe just run us through some of your mentors in this experience and a little bit of information about what you did your master's thesis on?
Yeah, sure. A key mentor for me during my master's, and really who encouraged me to do the ABA course, is Dr. Susan Friedman, and I think she's a buddy of yours, Ryan, as well.
Huge influence.
Yeah, she kind of said to me, I can remember her saying, just do it, Kate. And my master's was an immense challenge for me, something that I'm really, really pleased I did. It was kind of a dream to take it through to the level that I took it. I replicated a previous study using ABA methodology to train problem loaders, horses to load onto a trailer. I actually extended the study by training their owners to train their own horses, which was a suggestion that came out of this study. In a nutshell, we trained the horses to touch a target and follow a target. They would then follow the target into the float, and we then faded out this target, which was handheld, and sent the horses to a stationary target, which was inside the trailer. I used a step-by-step procedure that included, of course, the food, and it was based on behavioural principles, and the idea was to reduce the likelihood of problem behaviour through training correctly the process of loading.
And did you achieve those goals?
I did. It was it was very exciting. The results of the study came out pretty conclusively that you could train owners to train their own horses in a relatively timely and cost-effective manner. And they used behavior analytic technique. They weren't behavior analysts. They also didn't have to use whips or keep increasing the negative reinforcement. And the idea was that it would not only be improve welfare for the horses, but also to improve owner safety, because the owners did not have to go into the trailer. I'm going to use trailer because people overseas won't know what I mean. To improve owner safety. So yeah, it was a very exciting experience for me.
And I think that's just so important for a number of reasons. One, obviously safety is important, but two, also I think loading horses into a trailer, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kate, is quite a big challenge for horse owners. And I say that my input is looking on YouTube and the amount of videos that are available.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I can say that you have inspired me to. I loaded recently a series of four videos taken during my master's onto YouTube as a taste of what could be achieved. And I looked at some examples. I won't mention names. of alternative methods of training horses to load onto a trailer, and I was pretty horrified, I must admit. And these people are trying these techniques and getting into a lot of trouble, and I think that we need to start looking at horse welfare, but we also need to remember that a lot of horse people are quite small and not capable of controlling, you know, a 600 kilogram horse. So
that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm going to link to those videos in the write-up for this podcast, so everyone listening out there can have a look at those. And I encourage you as well to spend your time looking at the other videos on YouTube. What scares me, Kate, is watching some of these, and I'm going to call them cowboys for a number of reasons. But hey, they've got hats on and they've got cowboy clothes on, so I can call them cowboys for that reason. These cowboys have dragging these horses through these small confined areas to get them used to them and calling it choice and all this kind of stuff. What scares me, though, is the huge audiences that they draw in to learn this methodology.
Very charismatic people, and they do get results. And this is the interesting thing. You know, I'd never say it doesn't work, because they do get results. The biggest argument against it, though, is there's no clear procedure. There's no transferal of skills to somebody else, and it's very difficult to train somebody in so-called horsemanship technique. Whereas my master's was very focused on saying that, hey, Ryan, I could send you my procedure and you would be able to train a horse to go into a trailer without needing to know horsemanship skills. I mean, obviously it's important that you understand that a horse is a large animal that can bite and potentially kick from a safety point of view. But if you follow this procedure, it's step by step, and somebody who's not necessarily experienced with horses could do the same procedure.
It's beautiful. And is that stuff on your website? Because we'll link to all your stuff in the podcast write-up, so everyone listening to this can find Kate and can find her material and find out more information.
I will have to make sure that my website is up to date. Probably the easiest way of getting in touch with me now, though, is through my Facebook page. My website is probably more of a static page, if that makes sense. I'd probably put more energy into the Facebook page.
No worries. We'll link to your Facebook page. We've got two more questions, and we're starting to make our way towards the end of the podcast. But I just want to ask you at this point, if you could take us back, Kate, through your experience, and tell us a story or two about some behavioral challenges and social successes you might have had, and some significant lessons that you've gleaned from these experiences.
Okay. I laughed when I read this, when you sent me the draft for this, because I thought, I've got two that just jump out at me, and they're both concerning my Appaloosa Jackson, who was initially trained by a dog trainer. He has no experience with traditional horse training, so he has probably taught me the most. I've had to let go of a lot of baggage in the process of working with him, and I can remember wanting to worm him, and I thought, right, you know, I'm going to do this the old way, put the halter on him, hold on to him, and just get it in his mouth somehow. And there was no way. The minute he saw this tube coming up to his mouth, that was it. And I thought, I'm not even going to go there. And I stood back for a minute and I said to myself, Kate, use your training. So I held out the worm tube and told him to target the worm tube. And he had these huge eyes that were just rolling all over the place. But after about 5 minutes, he was touching the worm tube when I asked him to target. And I did a lot of pre-training with an empty tube and got him to mouth it and would get it in his mouth. And it was a real reminder to me of how much baggage I've still got from previous work with horses. And it wasn't until I stripped off, I took his halter off, I took everything off, and I just went into the paddock and hold out the worm tube and tell him to target, and he would come up and touch it. And that was a real lesson for me to not try and take shortcuts. The other one was under saddle, riding him under saddle when he used to get quite scared about things around him. And there was a road sign in the middle of a place that we were riding in, just warning of people to slow down because of horses. And he was not going to walk past it. And again, I just stopped and I thought, right, how are you going to deal with it? So I said, target. And he took a step towards it and I could mark the behavior and reinforce it and repeated target. And again, within a couple of steps, he was touching the road sign as a target. And I can remember my friend who I was riding with at the time was having a good old laugh at me. But I think it just reinforced my training behavior, definitely, and just reminded me that, yeah, what I'm doing is the way forward, definitely.
Yeah, and they're great examples to share with people, because people are often in that situation, aren't they? We live in a punishing society, you know, we grow up with it. Yeah. And it's reinforcing for us because it often results in us achieving whatever we're set out to achieve.
Yeah.
So great examples, and great examples of the use of targeting. Doesn't targeting just have an infinite number of uses?
Yeah, yes. And I think it was probably Shauna that said it's only really limited by your own imagination.
And I always say to everyone, if you're unsure, some people, they want to take up some training, but they have no idea what to train. I say, just target. Train yeah. your animal to target.
Yeah.
And then nice generalization there. And your horse is, yeah, targeting to different things and generalizing that behavior. That's cool. Yeah. So moving forward now into the future. What would you like to see happen in the horse training, animal training, people training, mainly horse training? What would you like to see happen in the horse training world in the next 5-10 years?
Okay, I had to really think about this because, you know, in a dream world, I'd say, right, positive reinforcement all around. And I guess that would be ideal. I would love to see horses being advertised for sale as trained with positive reinforcement. But I think from a realistic point of view, I would like evidence-based practice to filter into equine training, if that makes sense. I, at the moment, it's just advanced negative reinforcement. You know, we're getting more skilled at using negative reinforcement, but it's not the only solution. And research tells us that positive reinforcement has so many, I can say side effects, but the positive side effects. And I think really fundamentally people want an amazing relationship with their horse. And I feel so fortunate to have an amazing relationship with my horse based on the fact that I use positive reinforcement. So I think that would be the ultimate, to see people actually looking for what is working, what's been shown to be the least aversive technique, how effective is it? And is it working? And I think that my master's was a part of that. I would like to definitely inspire to do more research. And I think the key to it is to target children. I think the children are the future for horse training. I think they've got less baggage. They're more open. There's certainly a lot more fun to be had training your horse using positive reinforcement. And perhaps that's a way in. But I think that we need to be looking at what information is available out there beyond the horse environment as well. We're very insular. And I've said on numerous occasions talking to people, we need to be looking at why exotic animal trainers can get an animal to do, a wild animal, to do amazing things like give a blood sample when we can't load a domesticated animal into a trailer. So I think the other animal trainers, we need to be looking at what they're doing and why it's working.
Yeah. And why do you think that is, Kate? I'm sorry, we're getting sidetracked here with another question, but I was just looking at the time. We've got a couple of minutes, and I know that we were kind of talking about this before we started recording about the necessity for evidence-based stuff versus just coming along and saying, hey, let's use positive reinforcement with horses.
Well, I think you've got to, from being professional and also from providing a rationale for positive reinforcement rather than just saying, oh, it's kind and lovely for your horse. I think we've got enough research now to say, hey, guys, this is shown to be effective. And an interesting thing for me is, and this is slightly different from, of course, being an applied behavior analyst, is asking people to question their own personal philosophy of training and saying, well, what do you believe is an acceptable way to train an animal? And really get them to think, because I think then you're going to base your decisions on your training on a far more solid foundation rather than, oh, well, he's a good looking guy, or I've heard he's really good, or he's quite cheap, or he's nearby, or he just happens to be presenting a clinic down the road. We need to be starting to be more critical in our judgment of the training process and perhaps putting our horse's welfare above some of the other things that we tend to put first.
No, what I wanted to say, that's why you're so important, Kate, and it just demonstrates that applied behavior analysis, positive reinforcement, this science works with all organisms, not just our exotic animals in our zoos, not just our dogs at home, but our horses as well.
Yeah, and us, of course.
and humans as well. And that's another area that you're very engaged in, Kate, that we didn't even touch on today, but a very interesting one. And I really want to create more content around that in the future.
Brilliant, Ryan. Thank you.
Cool. Well, this has been an absolute blast. I hope you listening out there have enjoyed yourself. I know I definitely have. And a very interesting area to keep our focus on as we move forward, spreading the word about applied behavior analysis and positive reinforcement methodology. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to listen to more, then head over to www.animaltrainingacademy.com and you can find the other episodes there. Like I said at the start, they have nearly reached 1,500 downloads. So I am just blown away with how incredibly well received they have been, and a massive thank you to you as the listener. The other thing I want to mention before we wrap this up today is that Animal Training Academy is turning 1 year old. On the 11th of July 2015, Animal Training Academy went live online with its first ever course, The Recipe, and I can hardly believe it's already been 12 months since then. Of course, we're going to have to positively reinforce all of you wonderful people for supporting this venture over the last 12 months. So I'm going to be doing something special for the birthday celebrations next month in July. If you want to know more about what this will look like, then you're going to have to wait, because I don't even know what it is yet. But it's going to be huge and you're not going to want to miss out on it. The best way to keep up to date about that and any/all other activity from Animal Training Academy is to jump on the email list. You can do that by visiting the website www.animaltrainingacademy.com and hit the register button. And when you do register, as a special gift to you as well, you will receive the 15 lesson free training tidbits course, video, audio, PDFs, quizzes. So head over there and I'll see you on the inside. As always as well, please get in touch. I want to know your thoughts, feelings and questions. Did you enjoy this podcast? Did you not enjoy this podcast? Do you have any other questions about anything that was discussed in the episode today, or about anything else for that matter? Or if you just want to add your comments, thoughts and feelings, I would love to hear them. And hey, if you just want to post a picture of your cat, because your cat is scientifically the cutest cat in the world, then I'd love that as well. Now, Kate, we've kind of mentioned before, we can find you on Facebook and we can find your website, but the best place to contact you is on Facebook.
Yes, for sure.
Cool. Is there any other social media? Do you use anything else, Kate? Or is it just, should we go to Facebook? What is the name of the Facebook group?
But EPR stands for Equine Positive Reinforcement Training.
Okay. And I know that there's people that are going to be listening to this podcast that are going to be going there, and I'll put a link to it on the write-up for the podcast on the website. So head there and click on that link as well. Hey, good luck with all your training and behavioral management endeavors, everyone. And we look forward to having you back next time. Ciao. See you later.